this is... it's a thing. A DC's Batman Comics First fanfic, written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Jason Todd, with additional tags for Alternate Universe, Werewolf, Alternate Universe, Canon Divergence, Animal Transformation. Author's notes. I'm on a werewolf kink. Whatever. I don't know if I'll continue this or not. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Shrug. Chapter 1. It's a thing. The creature chuffs, a light sound as he nudges at the back of Jason's knees. Jason stares at the giant wolf that's probably bigger than the hellhound of a dog Damien calls the dumb beast. He, and it is a he, stares up at him with what Jason doesn't hesitate to call distaste, before nudging at Jason's knees again.
What?
Because, shut up, Jason's always wanted a dog. You're getting mud on my carpet. How the fuck did you even get in here? Are wolves even native to Jersey? Ugh, Jesus, what the hell is Jason's life even? The wolf chuffs. If wolves can roll their eyes, Jason figures that this one would be doing it right now. Jason doesn't know why he isn't afraid. He blames it on the fact that it's ass in the morning and he's coming down off an adrenaline high. So he starts stripping out of his armor and makes a mental note to clean the shit up tomorrow after having a proper freak out and maybe some breakfast. Maybe. When Jason wakes up a solid 9 hours later, he has all of 15 blissful seconds thinking that last night was a dream. A crazy dream in which a wolf invaded his home and gave him disapproving looks when he didn't shower before flopping face first onto his bed in nothing but his boxers. It is not a crazy dream. Because when he wakes up again to stare into the wolf's face, staring into his with the most disgusted look of ugh, he's ever seen on a non-human being or Damien. Because Damien clearly doesn't count as a regular human being. And because Jason is a trained fighter, soldier, and just this side of crazy, he does what any normal person in this situation would do. He swears and goes back to sleep. He succeeds for about 2 seconds before the wolf whines. It, honest to God, whines. I am not fucking prepared to deal with this bullshit. Jason groans, rolls over, then gets up to wash his mouth and shower. When he comes out again, the wolf is not in his room. But he finds the thing in his living room, nosing around his armor and weapons. How the fuck are you so goddamn judgmental? You're a dog. The wolf lets out a low growl before snagging the bits of Jason's uniform with his teeth and dragging it over to the fake wall where he keeps the rest of his equipment. Jason would like to know how the fuck the wolf knows. Whatever. He makes himself breakfast and only relents to giving the wolf half his sausage, and only because the damn thing looked so pathetic and whined. It whined, for God's sake. After breakfast, and Jason is still mostly in shock here, he grabs the wolf by its ruff and drags it over into a shower. The wolf sends Jason a look of absolute spite. And that's only because Jason laughs his ass off when the wolf's wet coat makes him look like a scrawny, pathetic dog. You were tracking mud and some sort of shit into my house, you damn home invader, Jason says. And you woke me up. So excuse me for trying to take care of your fucking hygiene. And if you shake, I swear to God, I will throw you out the goddamn window. The wolf doesn't shake. But he does throw himself on top of Jason and doesn't get up until Jason is fucking soaked. "You little shit," Jason says. The wolf yawns. "I need a name for you aside from pain in my ass or little shit," Jason says, after 4 attempts at getting the wolf out his door. Every time the wolf starts off snapping and growling and then dissolves into the most pitiful whines Jason has heard in his entire life. Including Titus. And that dog is all kinds of pitiful when he puts his mind to it. The wolf bares his fangs before making himself comfortable on Jason's leather sofa, which is going to be a bitch to clean later. "No! Off the sofa! No! Ground rules, because you seem to understand what I'm saying when I talk. You don't get on the furniture. No. Down. I am going to call you a little shit for the rest of your life. Little shit, get down off my sofa." The wolf gives him a look. Who knew that a wolf could be more expressive than Batman? Because he is. That reads as, "You are an idiot." Jason scrubs a hand over his face. "I'm gonna have to call for help, aren't I?" Little shit. And realistically, Jason is going to think of something better than this, because even he isn't that mean. Licks his chaps, puts his head on the armrest, and his tail thumps a few times. Jason takes this as a, "You betcha," and reaches for the phone. Dick laughs at him. He laughs. The asshole laughs. He laughs, hangs up, calls back, bursts out into more laughter, then says that he's coming over because he has to see this shit in person. "I give you full permission to rip his throat out," Jason says to the wolf, who Jason has a strange feeling of recognition towards. The thing is calm and gives off these "I am so done with your bullshit" vibes that remind him of the Pretender. Jason has taken to mentally calling the wolf BB because baby bird, BB. Makes sense. BB thumps his tail before he turns back to the television, which is playing reruns of Housewives of Metropolis. When Dick shows up 30 minutes later, which is honestly 30 minutes earlier than Jason expected, opens the door, sees the wolf, or more accurately, he sees Jason held down on his couch by the wolf's ginormous head on his lap, and the little asshole refuses to let him up. Dick has a key, or to be more accurate, he knows how to get past Jason's security with or without his permission at this point. "Hey, Tim." "Why the fuck is the Pretender a giant dog?" Jason tries, and spectacularly fails, to shove Tim's head off his lap. Dick raids Jason's kitchen. Bitch faces at Jason's lack of overabundance in food. Well, tough asshole. Not everyone can live with a fully stocked Alfred-worthy kitchen. "Wolf," Dick corrects, and brings Jason a beer. Which is probably the most productive thing he's done for Jason since he called him. "So, glad to know that Tim didn't run off. Are you coming home anytime soon, Timmers?" Tim, and Jason's mental nickname of BB, is all sorts of not funny right now. Just chuffs. Side-eyes Jason's beer so hard that he's forced to put it down, then resumes watching crap television. "Could someone explain what the fuck is happening in my life?" "Tim's a wolf," Dick says. Shrugs. "I really don't think there's anything else I can say about this." "You could tell me how," Jason says, still trying and failing to get Tim off. Like, why is he even here? Tim doesn't even like me. We don't even talk. Every time we're in the same vicinity, he clams up like talking is physically killing him. Yeah. Dick gives Tim the wolf a weird look. That's one way to put it. Tim the wolf whines, and his tail does this sad little flop wag. Is this a recent development? Can I get answers? Can someone get him off me? Tim lets out a small bark, gets off Jason, and moves in favor of nosing at Dick's hand for pets and cuddles. And why the fuck is he suddenly so damn tactile? It's more or less an always thing. Dick shrugs. Would you be willing to slap on some suspension of disbelief and just accept that this is going to be a thing? It's going to be a thing, Jason deadpans. It's going to be a thing. It's gonna be a thing. Dick nods. Christ, it's gonna be a thing. Jason puts his head in his hands. Yup. Dick leaves with tips on how to take care of Tim Wolf, who is apparently a lot like regular Tim, except a lot more open about being judgmental and eats about 4 times as much. Should have stuck with pain in my ass, Jason says, and Tim noses at Jason's hip like that's going to make dinner cook any faster. Christ, Pretender, you are literally the biggest pain to ever exist. Ever. No. No, stop giving me that look. No! Fuck no. I'm not gonna give you a fucking belly rub, you little ass. Tim snuffles and lies down at Jason's feet. Yeah, whatever. You owe me for this, you little shit. So maybe Jason doesn't sound as angry as he should be. And maybe he nudges Tim's side with his foot in what could be described as an affectionate manner. Whatever. When you change back, when? Because Dick says you will, and I will throw you off the roof of a building if you don't. You're gonna explain this shit to me. Because, frankly, Dick keeps laughing every time I try to bring it up, and I'm sure as fuck not gonna ask Bruce about it. He feels the dip of the bed where Tim lies down on the mattress next to him. Seriously, Pretender. No clamming up and ignoring my general existence. The next morning, the wolf is gone, and there's a note saying, thanks. Jason throws his hands in the air, swears, and goes back to sleep. Dick keeps sending Jason these looks on patrol, and Tim is giving Jason a bubble of avoidance that does Batman proud. And then, after about 2 months, Jason finds Tim, Wolf Tim, waiting for him on his patrol route, his uniform hanging from his mouth. Again? Tim's tail wags, and Jason sighs, then resigns himself to, this is a thing, isn't it? Tim deposits his uniform at Jason's feet and trots off to, somehow, for a creature that walks on 4 legs and has no thumbs, shimmy down the fire escape to Jason's waiting motorcycle. Jason takes that as a yes. Chapter 2. This is such a thing. It's ridiculous. Around the 4th time this happens, Jason corners Dick. He actually wakes up at 5 a.m., 3 hours after going to sleep, drives to the manor, and waits outside Dick's room. What the ever-loving fuck is going on, and why is my life turning into it? Jason says. Dick stares, opens and closes his mouth, before whispering, I can't tell you. You won't tell me, or you can't tell me? Tim made me swear. Tim made you swear. Jason crosses his arms and mentally translates that to, Tim is blackmailing me. What the fuck does replacement have on you? Dick's eyes widen, and he starts looking shifty before they both freeze. It's a trained instinct to sense killing intent, and they both turn to see Tim looming. For all that Tim is about half a foot shorter than Jason, he looms pretty fucking well. Like, somewhere, Bruce is preening like a smug bastard over this or something. Tim grabs Dick's arm and physically drags him away. Jason doesn't think he'll be getting any answers from Dick. And because he still doesn't want to suck it up and talk to Bruce about this, he goes to Damien. Damien gives him this look that manages to convey, you are an imbecile, Todd, as well as, you tried, before shutting the door in his face. Jason spends about 5 minutes just glaring at Damien's door and debating his options. He goes to Bruce, who just looks at Jason, then does this shifty thing with his eyes that makes Jason throw his hands up in the air and hiss. Who the fuck does he not have blackmail on? Jesus, you are actually the most useless dad ever, Bruce. Being blackmailed by your own fucking kids. The next logical step is to go to Alfred. And what makes you think that I know why Master Timothy is doing what he's doing? Alfred says, as he washes dishes. Jason fidgets, because Alfred has always inspired that kind of reaction in Jason. Well, it's you, Alfie. Alfred turns and gives Jason a look. You're not gonna make me say it, are you? Say what, Master Jason? Jason sighs, shoulders slumping. You know, because you're Alfred, and therefore much more observant and superior to the rest of us fools who are in your charge. Go wash the car, Master Jason, and perhaps some insight will come to you. The car? Because one of the entrances to the cave is through a waterfall, and they always make sure to use that entrance whenever the car gets too dirty. Which is, like, every other night. Alfred ushers Jason toward the garage, where they're less conspicuous, and by that Jason means less lethal, cars are kept. Yes, sir. The car. I find that manual labor tends to help clear the mind for thought. But, Alfred, it's gonna be like 90 degrees out today. Jason washes the damn cars. Plural. Because every time Jason thinks he's done, Alfred just points him to another one. And it turns out to be a lot hotter than 90 degrees. Jason ends up taking his shirt off, because at this point it's more annoying and wet and uncomfortable, like his fucking jeans, which he can't take off, and fucking wet denim is such a bitch. In the middle of washing what feels like is the 50th bright red sports car, Jason looks up to see Tim standing at the edge of the garage, staring at him. When he notices Jason looking back at him, his cheeks flush a splotchy red, he glares, and he spins on his heel to walk away. He looked at Jason like this was all Jason's fault. What even? Also, Jason may or may not be checking the replacement out as he walks away, because shit, man. Replacement group would be fucking sexy, okay? Jason has anger and abandonment issues. He's not blind. Sometimes Tim the Wolf follows Jason out on patrol, and word on the street is that people are calling Jason Red Riding Hood. Fuck! Jason glares at Tim and hates that no matter how intimidating he may look, Tim is actually a wolf that is the size of a fucking monster, okay? A wolf on steroids or something. You, Jason hisses, Tim's muzzle between his hands, are ruining my reputation. You little shit. You don't see me fucking things up for you when you're busting drug rings and kicking people's faces in. People think I'm a delicate flower. You were totally laughing at me, aren't you? Tim manages to look both severely unimpressed and amused at the same time. He then licks Jason's helmet, then trots off to nose at the various unconscious members of the drug ring Jason had just busted. Why me? Jason asks. No answer. Go figure. Okay. You are going to tell me what you know, or I am going to shoot something. Maybe it'll be Tim. Maybe it'll be you. Maybe it'll be Bruce just because, or maybe it'll be me. I don't know at this point. But it'll be disgusting and bloody and a bitch to deal with, just like how my life is turning out. Dick just shoots Jason this look. You honestly don't know why? Would I be asking if I did? What the hell does Dick think Jason does this for? Christ. Look, Tim just pops in at my place or follows me around at random times, and it's really disturbing because he's a giant canine most of the time. Dick, he is a giant canine with fangs and claws. Tim is also a fighter trained by world-renowned assassins and a habitual liar with a penchant for manipulation and duplicity. Yes, Dick. Thank you for that delightful input. You'd think that it'd be easier to handle him as a wolf. You'd think so, but no. And how do you know they're random times? Jason blinks. Dick just looks serene. Like a goddamn angel or something, just playing at his harp or lute or whatever the hell it is angels play. Why don't you observe when he comes to you next time? Jason is woken up when he sees Tim's slender form shimmy in through his window, and is further woken up when Tim slides into Jason's bed and manhandles him until Jason's arm is curled around him. Jason waits a beat. So, Tim growls at him. He honest to God growls at him. Are we going to talk about this? Because this is awkward, Tim. This is awkward. You don't just randomly pop into a guy's room and crawl into bed with him. Like, what if I had been doing something? What if I was drugged out of my mind and about to kill whoever came in next? What if I was severely injured? What if... Shut up. Tim growls. And it's really, really ridiculously attractive. And spoon me. Over the next few weeks, Jason takes Dick's advice into consideration, marking down all the times that the canine, more tactile version of Tim comes around, and the times when normal Tim shoves his way into Jason's apartment and sulks without actually answering any questions. Not that he doesn't look good when he gets his brood on. He's got that whole vague man of mystery sex appeal going on there. Great for him! But Jason digresses. Jason comes to the conclusion that he does this when he's stressed. Jason says, as soon as Tim is out of hearing range, and Dick answers his cell. The little crazy dipshit does this for comfort. Why the fuck is Timothy Drake coming to me, Jason Todd, for comfort? I don't do comfort. Dick makes a vague noise of irritation. You are the dumbest... Dick cuts himself off, and he hears him mumbling something away from the receiver before sighing. Do you realize that Tim isn't normal, right? Like, his definition of relaxing is hacking government files and infiltrating criminal organizations? That sounds like fantastic downtime, Dick. It does, actually. Like, neither of the above options really involve being shot, unless you fuck the latter one up stupendously. What the hell is your point? You know what would be a great idea? If you just talked to him. I understand that we're bats and broody, but we were all also robins, therefore it should balance out somehow. Did you miss the part where the replacement doesn't even look at me when we're in the same room? I mean, Jesus, Dick, it's like my breathing offends him. Jason hears Dick mutter, it does something to him, all right, before he says, just talk to him. Nerve strike him, handcuff him to yourself, sedate him, I don't know, just talk to him. Dick then hangs up and refuses to answer Jason's next 14 calls and 67 texts. Asshole. Because Jason is just that desperate for answers, he takes Dick's advice. The next time Tim wolfs out and takes over Jason's bed, Jason sprawls over Tim's back. We gotta talk. Tim lets out a low growling sound. Yeah, I know. You and your aversion to words, but wait. You also have an aversion towards me. And here we are. You, popping into my apartment every other day or so. Hey, Tim, why the hell do you keep dropping in for comfort when you clearly hate me? Tim growls. Tries to worm out from underneath Jason and fails because when Jason tries, he can turn into an octopus. Like Dick, but 1,000 times more aggressive and shameless. You transform back right now. I swear to Batman, Tim. I swear to Batman. If you can change into a wolf, you can change back again. Jason feels the wolf keen before he hears the crack and shift a bone. A few seconds later, Jason is holding down a very naked and angry Tim, who is glaring at him like there's no tomorrow. You're naked, Jason says, trying and failing not to let his eyes stray away from Tim's face. Yes, Jason, because wolves don't wear clothes. Tim blushes. Fascinating. My eyes, Tim continues, are on my face, which is distinctly not where you're looking. So you come to me for comfort, Jason says. Tim keeps shooting nervous looks toward the window, like he is going to dive out it any second. Which makes for a pretty funny mental image, considering Tim is wearing one of Jason's shirts and a pair of his sweatpants. Both of which just swaddle Tim. Why me? I mean, shit, Tim. You don't even like me. Tim flinches, and his face is bright red. Jason hears him mumble something along the lines of something like that. Which, didn't Dick say that too? If you want comfort, you could probably go to Dick for that or something. Like, I hear he's the best at hugs when you have a shitty day. In fact, I give him a glowing recommendation. 5 stars and everything. Plus, he lives in the manor, so, like, Alfred on call all the time, plus a big screen TV. Tim shoots Jason a look. That's not the kind of comfort I'm looking for. And watching reruns of daytime TV is? Come on, Tim. Give me a hint here. We are having a conversation. It's a two-way street. I'm not going to talk at you. Come on! Jason is acutely aware of the fact that he sounds like a whiny 5-year-old. He thinks he's justified. Tim blows at some hair that's gone into his face before turning away and mumbling something. Care to repeat that? Jason says, as he watches the tips of Tim's ears turn pink. I said... And every word sounds like they're being physically dragged out of Tim's mouth. That you feel safe. I come to you because it's safe. Jason blinks, and Tim hunches his shoulders, brings his knees up to his chest, and generally makes himself look as small as possible. Safe? Safe. Tim's face gets this pinched look as Jason repeats the word. Safe, Jason says. Are we talking about the same word here? Because I've killed you. Like, stabbed you and checked your pulse. There was nothing there killed you. I've beaten the fuck out of you, and I've been, like, the shittiest person ever to you. And you think I'm safe. Yes, Jason. Tim glares at him like this is somehow Jason's fault. How does that even work? I mean, like, just, what even? Tim shrugs, picks at the hem of his borrowed shirt. You don't think I'm crazy? At this point, replacement, I kind of think you are. Safe. Jesus! You never... Tim frowns. You didn't doubt me. You didn't hurt me because you doubted me or didn't trust me. You don't think I'm crazy, and that's something that hasn't really been happening to me for a while. So, yes, Jason, you feel safe. Tim glares at him. And if you tell anyone, I'll rip your vocal cords out with my teeth. Telling Jason not to do something is practically an engraved invitation for him to do something. Did you know that Tim thinks I'm safe? Dick stares at him, then slowly says, I think everyone knows that Tim thinks you're a lot of things. It's not exactly a secret, Jay. What do you mean? I mean that Tim thinks you're the best thing out there since the internet, and he would rather rip his own arm off and eat it than tell you. Jason pauses at the vivid imagery. Dick nudges Jason with his foot. So? So? Are you guys a thing? Why would we be a thing? Why wouldn't you be a thing? Because Tim would rather rip his arm off and eat it than talk to me? You two idiots are impossible. Dick pinches the bridge of his nose. Look, he likes you. And you like
him. Don't even bother denying it. Everyone and their mother knows that you've been not so subtly checking him out. And don't try to tell me you aren't bitter about him not talking to you, because I'd like to remind you that I've heard you ramble when you're high on pain meds, and I'm going to tell you this now, you sound like a pining 14-year-old. Yeah, well, you have no taste in fashion. So there. You like me, Jason declares, as he bursts into Tim's apartment. Tim stares at him, wide-eyed, and then bolts for the window. Which, when Jason thinks about it, is probably what he'd do too. Jason tackles Tim to the floor, dodges a punch to the throat, and does his level best to pin Tim to the ground and not lose the function of any of his vital organs. Can we talk about this like rational human beings? Or, in your case, wolf human person, please? Tim narrows his eyes. I mean, look. You like me. I like you. Can we just not do this? Tim lets out a slow exhale. Define this. The part where you lunge out a window and I chase you all over Gotham while you're barefoot and wearing an alpaca sweater. It's cute, by the way. Mint green is totally your color. Thanks. Tim blinks. Please get off. You're heavy. Think of this as revenge for all those times you pinned me as a giant dog. Wolf. Being of the canine persuasion. Jason rolls off him. Tim sits up, pulls his knees up to his chest. Anyway, you could have told me like a normal human being, you know, instead of... Jason waves his hand. Tim stares at him. What makes you think I'm normal? It takes about 2 hours of Tim deflecting and trying to distract Jason with various tangents and non sequiturs, but eventually, Jason manages to break it all down to, do you or do you not like me in a way that possibly means that you want to spend a decent chunk of your life with me, including but not limited to sex? Tim wrinkles his nose. Do you have to put it like that? It's a yes or no question. Yes. Tim flinches. I mean, well, yes. Okay. 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 Jason flicks Tim's forehead. Okay, because I like you in a way that definitely means that I'm open to spending a decent chunk of the rest of my life with you. Occasionally having sex, but not all the time. Oh. Tim's cheeks slowly turn pink. I'm going to kiss you now, Jason says, slowly inching closer to the other man. And then we're going to be a thing. We're a thing? Tim blinks, eyes wide, and, like, puppy-eyed. As in, a thing? Jason nods, reaches out, and cups Tim's cheek. Yeah, a thing. As in, a thing. Are you okay with us being a thing? Tim smiles. Chapter 3. So, we're a thing. So how many people know about your wolfish tendencies? Tim half-heartedly kicks at Jason's shin. It's how he shows his love when, you know, he isn't a giant fucking dog, Wolf, cuddling up to Jason at odd hours. No, I'm curious, I want to know. Dick? Well, obviously. Bruce? Come on, someone I don't know. Superman? Jason blinks. Tim sighs. Who do you think Dick would turn to the first time his new partner turns into a giant dog? Who in the community do we know and trust who owns a dog? Crypto? Dick went to Superman for advice because he has crypto? Isn't there... Oh, why the fuck didn't he just go to Beast Boy? Crypto is a very smart dog with a lot of things to say. Tim rolls over, giving Jason a baleful stare. And I don't know, I was busy at the time. Jason raises an eyebrow. Tim flushes. I might have been busy trying to keep myself from licking Superman's face. No, Jason, shut up. My thought process isn't the same when I'm a wolf, okay? You and Tim, Dick says. And it's ass in the morning. By which Jason means he rolls over, glares at the clock, glares at Tim, who is a wolf-shaped lump of fur next to him, glares at the clock some more, then turns to glare at Dick. 8.
What the hell do you want?
The greatest injustice of the universe is that Dick Grayson can go to sleep at the crack of dawn and be wide awake and perky 2 hours later if it means making his younger siblings' lives a living hell. And somehow, he's still going to be their unanimous favorite. Jesus. You and Tim. Dick squints, leaning over them. You are a thing.
It's too early for this bullshit.
Jason grabs the pillow underneath Tim's paws and covers his face. Tim snuffles and shoves his nose against Jason's arm.
Go the fuck away.
No, I want to know if my two pining idiot brothers have finally gotten over themselves. Dick raises an eyebrow. Did you finally get over yourselves?
I don't know, Dick. I mean, I'm wearing nothing but my underwear, and I'm pretty sure Tim ripped out of his clothes. What do you think?
Before Dick can answer, Tim growls, low and menacing. Jason can hear the click of Dick's jaw closing. Well, I'll just leave you to it, then. A few seconds later, Jason hears the window shut. He reaches over and curls his fingers into the nape of Tim's neck.
Good dog.
Tim lets out a soft snort and shoves himself against Jason's side, almost pushing him over the edge of the bed. If this is going to be a thing, Jason says, as he tries to shove Tim off the sofa. I think you should remember that there are ground rules, like, no wolves on my fucking furniture. And how often is this going to happen? Like, do you have a time of the month? Is this a time of the month sort of thing? Tim, is this your time of the month? Tim's lip curls up at him as he slinks down off the sofa to curl up in the narrow space between said sofa and the coffee table. His low growl is like a fucking engine. Is that a yes or a no? Jason yelps when Tim snaps at his ankle and retreats to the kitchen.
No need to be so fucking touchy about it. Christ, I need a drink.
Tim barks.
Yes, it's going to be non-alcoholic.
Fuck you, it's 10 in the morning. I'm not a drunkard. Jason and I are a thing, Tim says into his cell phone. Jason raises an eyebrow. Tim raises one back, snaps his fingers toward the closet, and tucks his knees up against his chest. Jason crosses his arms. Tim snaps his fingers again. No, I'm not kidding. Yes, it is totally awesome. No, you aren't going to interrogate him. Tim keeps staring at him until Jason sighs, makes a face, and goes to get Tim some clothes. What do you mean you won the bet? Wait, who bet against you? Tim makes a humming sound, catching the sweatpants and t-shirt Jason throws at him, slowly pulling them on. Well, you're gonna give me 60%. 30 for me, 30 for Jason. Jason flops down on the end of the bed, ignores Tim's annoyed face when he bounces a little, and tugs at Tim's ankle. Obviously, we each get 30 because the bet was about us, and... Are you kidding? Why would she bet against us? Oh, well then, of course that makes sense. Tim is on the phone for about 15 more minutes before he hangs up and sets it on the bedside table.
What was that about?
Apparently, I was more obvious about my feelings than I thought. Tim folds his arms over his chest.
Your everything smells like cigarettes.
Too fucking bad.
Really? Because you weren't obvious to me.
That's kind of the point, Jason. Tim rolls his eyes, lets Jason pull him down by the ankle. Jason crawls up the bed, rests his head on Tim's stomach. Anyway, the point is, money was made, and all we had to do was
be awkward around each other for months.
Basically.
Huh. Well, awesome.
Tim's fingers thread through his hair.
Should I be worried about your team coming down to rip my heart out?
Don't be ridiculous. We're superheroes. That won't happen.
Jason sighs in relief.
However, you're very lucky that I just passed the age of consent in our state.
I'm kind of annoyed by how many times I've been asked if we're a thing.
By
everyone. Cops, criminals, random passers-by, prostitutes, pimps, drug dealers, homeless people.
Jason waves his hand. The list is endless. And by the way, apparently you're very good for me. If only they knew the truth, so keep it up.
Tim snorts, and Jason can feel him rolling his eyes. It's not funny. And I am still getting called Red Riding Hood. To my fucking face, even.
What did you do?
I didn't kill them, if that's what you're looking for. Jason's not that petty.
But he's not gonna lie. He considered shooting people in the ass once or twice over it. Pistol whipping a sassy asshole.
Gently.
It'd look pretty bad if Red Hood and Red Robin started duking it out so recently into their relationship. Jason reaches over, hand cupping the back of Tim's neck.
You are ruining my life.
Tim smiles. That asshole.
Seriously, I didn't have these kinds of problems before you.
You're welcome, Tim says, brushes his lips against Jason's cheek. Jason sighs, squeezes his neck.
You should make it up to me.
Tim's lip twitches up, amused. And how would I do that? Jason leans in, crowds against him.
Surprise me.
Smiles. My, Jason, what big teeth you have.
Isn't that my line?
The end. Reader's notes. So, I didn't really do anything to celebrate Valentine's Day, but today is Lupercalia, and I wanted to do something to celebrate that. So, have two dumb boys who are bad at feelings and skipped Valentine's Day because they're so bad at talking, celebrating a different holiday with a wolf. Or something. It's very only tangentially related to Lupercalia, because there's definitely no sacrificial ghost or anything like that. Goats, not ghosts. Sacrificial ghosts is awkward. Anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed Jason and Tim both being dumbasses, because that's my favorite kind of Tim Drake, who is bad at flirting and should start a tiny school for children who are bad at flirting and want to learn to flirt good. You know, like Zoolander. Anyway. Yeah. These boys. They make me happy. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it, and have a nice day.